Well, the blessing of God's word, we are thankful for it, aren't we? I hear about it. I see pictures of it. I read stories of it. But I can't imagine not ever being able to have God's word. Far back as I can remember, there were always Bibles in my house. And I grew up going to church, vacation Bible school, Sunday school. Everybody had a Bible. And it is something. And that reminds us of this special prayer that Bob and Pat asked, that we be in prayer for especially this lady in New York that is there expecting tomorrow. She is going to start working on trying to get some of the paperwork filled out online. Now that's an oxymoron, isn't it? You know, paperwork online. To me, that's one thing or another. I'm old. You know, we'll go somewhere and they want to know, do you want a receipt or an email? I said, give me a receipt. I want a piece of paper in my hand that says I've paid for something. I know I'm old. I'm certainly set in my ways, right, Jerry? There you go. But anyway, filling out paperwork online, all the things necessary, let's continue to be in prayer that according to the Lord's will, He would move out of the way any resistance Satan might have to stop that, so that if it's the Lord's will, Bob and Pat, they're waiting here in the States until around the middle of August. They have a granddaughter, I think, that's going to get married, and they want us to be here, and a couple of weeks after that, around the 1st of September, they would like to be able to go down to Columbia, meet up with Pino and Rosa. And perhaps they would like, there's one form of visa that you can get, it's up to 2 years long. But this one they're working on is kind of a tourist one for 90 days. They'll take whatever they can get. They would like to go and be able to do some work down there. So what's this all about? So that the Pomone Indians can have the complete New Testament in their language. They have a good portion of it now, but to be able to have it completed, to be able to have it bound and be able to deliver into their hands. Bob and Pat have worked many, many, many years on seeing that happen. So we take for granted, but we do need to be in prayer for those that don't have it. Let's look to Him in prayer. Father, we're thankful that we can be here tonight, and we are thankful for Your word, and I thank You that You give us the opportunity to meet, consider it, turn to it, contemplate its meaning, and I pray that You would fill me with Your Spirit, that You would be glorified as we continue on in our search regarding truth, and our hearts. We trust, Lord, we will please You in all that's said and done. In Your name I pray, amen. Well, last time we were with you, it was 2 weeks ago. Remember, we were in Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 and 10, and we were reminded of the deceit and the unreliability of our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we saw in verse 10, only the Lord knows our hearts. But the truth is, many people have trouble believing that. Many people have trouble believing that the Lord is the only one that knows their hearts. In Proverbs 28:26, Solomon said, "He that trusteth his own heart is a fool, Sorry, I didn't give you a title for this, did I, Andrew? Why don't you stand up there, turn around in circles or something, and it'd get my attention. Here's your title. It's a common assumption. It's a common assumption. He that trusteth in his heart, in his own heart, is a fool. Now, why would Solomon say that? Let's read some of his writings, and we will discover, number one, almost the same message title. Let's see, number one, for you note takers, the common assumption. The common assumption. And I'm going to give you some references, maybe not give you the chance to turn to them. You want to write the references down, look at them later. The common assumption is that my way is all right. Listen to Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14:12, as well as 16:25, same verse. I'm just going to read it from Proverbs 14:12. There is a way unto man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Remember the rest of it? But the end thereof are what? The ways of death. But it seems so right. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know, we just look at these references. What do we give? 3, 4 here, different references in Proverbs. All of this adds up to the common assumption held by most people. And if you'll be honest, you know I'm right. The common assumption by most people is that they are doing okay in the way they're living their lives. Yes or no? And that very assumption, like we've said, every way of a right, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Why do I need the Lord as my own Savior? I'm doing what? I'm doing okay. You go take your gospel to somebody that needs it. I don't need it. Here's one of the things we see, one of the background contributing factors why it's difficult many times to get somebody to agree with you when you are trying to share with them their need of a Savior. I don't need a Savior. And we hear stories that I'm not as bad as, you ever hear that one? There's a lot of people that I know that do a lot more than I do. Go talk to them. And yet, we see here from our kickoff verse in Proverbs 28:26, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So as we look at this, let's take a closer look at some words in a couple of these two references that I shared with you. And let's just kind of tear them apart a little bit and let the scriptures speak to us. The first one is Proverbs 16:2. Why don't you turn to that? Proverbs 16:2. And here we see all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are clean. All the ways. And then you wonder why you have trouble getting someone to listen to you. Because in their own eyes, all their ways are clean in their own eyes. As we look at this, let's see, first of all, the word clean here in verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. If you look up the root of this particular word, you will discover that the word clean here comes from the word transparent. Transparent. Clear. Pure. All the ways of a man are clear, pure, transparent in his own eyes. But listen to Proverbs 20, verse 9. It says, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. In 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But in a couple of Proverbs later, the question is asked, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. The interesting thing is that in Proverbs 20, verse 9, the word clean comes from the word which means to be translucent. That's not the same thing as transparent, is it? Who can say I have made my eyes even translucent? If you have something that's translucent, what are we talking about? How about, wouldn't you say these colored panels here in the side of our auditorium are translucent? Yes or no? They're not? What's translucent?
It lets light through, we get the image.
That's translucent, I was going to say. If that's not translucent, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. Transparent is what? It's just like there's nothing there. That's transparent. And in Proverbs 16:2, it says, all the ways of a man are spick can span and spotling clean and clear in his own eyes. But in Proverbs 20, it says, who can say, I've made my heart even translucent to let a little bit of light through in the darkness? Get the point? We can't. The natural man, our hearts are what color? Black with sin. I could tell a story about that, but I won't. Black with sin. And man tries on his own because he thinks he's okay. All of his ways are okay, but Solomon in chapter 20 says, who can say, I have made my heart so that even a little bit of light comes through. You can't see anything, but it is letting just a little bit of light through. No one. And we see here in, once again, in 16:2, the Lord weigheth the spirits. Weigheth. What does that mean? It means to balance or measure. And Wilson adds, to adjust with accuracy. To adjust with accuracy. How many of you have ever had, I don't know whether doctors still have these crazy things or not. Everything is so digital now. They think they got you got to jump on a scale when you go to, you want to have somebody look at your fingernail, and the first thing you got to do is walk in, they take your blood pressure and step on the scale. Step on the scale. What's that have to do with my broken fingernail? But anyway, old doctor's offices, they used to have these scales that had this, remember this little sliding thing? And what was the goal? You had to get that point of it to do what? Kind of balance right there in the center. And whenever they got shoving it over to heavier, 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 and it finally balances out, they write that down and there you are. Well, that's what it says here the Lord does. It says that the Lord weigheth the spirits. He measures them and he adjusts with accuracy to get the true picture of our spirits. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah prayed, by him actions are weighed. God, he knows our hearts and he knows our sincerity. Well, we see here, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Because why? The heart is deceitful above all things. We saw 2 weeks ago, and what? It is desperately wicked, and it's doing a snow job. It is pulling the wool over our eyes. And it is trying to convince us, you're okay. Calm down. Calm down. Take a Nervine or something and calm your nerves down so that you don't get so upset. You haven't heard that one for a while, have you? They used to have people swallow Nervine, but anyway. You don't think so, dear?
I think so. 50 years ago, maybe.
That's right. I'm over 50 years old. I remember Nervine. Anyway. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, and most people see their own hearts as clear, clean, pure, transparent. But God weighs our hearts. He knows. And another one that we want to look at, a second reference that we read a moment ago, would be in Proverbs 21:2. Proverbs 21:2, when it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Right, what's that? Well, right comes from the word which means straight, just, upright. Every way of a man is straight, just, upright in his own eyes. Here again, you try to talk with somebody, you try to share with someone about their need for the Lord, and you talk about how, why our Lord came, but I'm okay, my ways are right. I'm doing all right with my life. Every way is right in his own eyes. We're told that this is the word, this word, right, straight, just, or upright, is the same word which is usually used to describe someone's ways in the eyes of the Lord. That by God's grace, they are right in his eyes. They are upright in his eyes. Not by their own doing, but because of their relationship with him. And that's how man tries to, my ways are all right. Nothing wrong with my life. Relax. Give me a break. Go preach to somebody that needs it. You're wasting your time on me. My ways are right. They're upright, straight, just. The other word in that second verse of Proverbs 21 is the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord pondereth the hearts. Pondereth, we're told, comes from the same word which means weigheth. And we looked at that a moment ago. He balances out. He weighs our heart. While man makes his claim about his ways, we find that Scripture gives us a completely different picture. The sad thing of it is, before we go to the second point, is that oftentimes believers are guilty of sin in their own lives, and shouldn't be this way, but many times Christians are reluctant to admit you got a problem with sin in your life. No, I don't. My life is okay. But sadly, as Christians, many times we resist being truthful and confessing and admitting our sin to the Lord and clearing and cleaning our hearts. Well, we have seen this first point, which is the common assumption. The second thing, though, let's notice the critical disclosure. The critical disclosure. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 5:21. Proverbs 5:21 tells us, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, the Lord, pondereth all his man's goings. The ways of the Lord are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. What's so critical about this disclosure? The sad thing of it is so many make the claim and assume that their ways are clean and clear and right before the Lord. But the truth is, the critical disclosure is, we want to be honest. The Lord, we see here, He sees all the ways of man. All the ways. We tell ourselves this, but we need to just keep reminding ourselves. You know, there is no place we can ever go that God doesn't know where we're at. There is no place that we can ever hide ourselves that God cannot see us. There is no word we will ever speak that God will not hear. In Psalm 139, there is no thought we will ever think that God has not already read our thoughts. Do we get the picture? How much does God know about you and me? He knows everything about us. And we can make all the claim to, there's nothing wrong with my life. My life is okay. No. God weighs our hearts. He sees it. He knows exactly, because all of our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. Jeremiah 16, 17 tells us this. It says, "Mine eyes are upon their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." In Jeremiah 32, 18 and 19, it tells us this. It says, "The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Foolish is the one who trusts their own heart. Foolish is the one who listens and they tell themselves, there's nothing wrong with my ways. Truth is, God sees all and God is pondering all we are doing with our lives. So, let's gather our thoughts a minute about this very thing. We saw a couple of weeks ago in Jeremiah 17, 9, that A, our heart deceives us. And tonight we are seeing B, most people assume that there's nothing wrong with the way they live their lives. But the truth is, God sees and knows differently. How can we be sure that we are on the right track? How can we be sure that I really am doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord? Who can we trust? Can I trust my heart? No. Number three, the constant source. There's a constant source that we can trust, and it is not your heart or mine. In Hosea 14:9, the prophet said, "The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them." But how am I going to know the ways of the Lord so that I can walk in His ways? Here's how. Let's see a couple of references. The first, Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. That verse tells me that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I must look to the Word of God with open-mindedness and willingness to respond. If I want my walk to be clean, if I want to make sure that I am walking in the right way before the eyes of the Lord, I've got to get into His Word. And I have to be open-minded. I have to be willing to respond when His Word shows me something in His Word that isn't really pleasing to Him. But B, first we see, how do I depend upon this reliable source of His Word? I've got to look to it, Hebrews 4:12. But B, I need to pray Psalm 139. Psalm 139. What do I need to pray? The psalmist closes my favorite psalm with, in these two verses, a prayer of his, and it needs to be a prayer of ours. Here in verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Personalize this prayer to the Lord. Don't say it, don't pray it if you don't mean it. Do you really want Him to do what the psalmist says here? Let's dissect that. First of all, he says, "Search. Search me, O God." We're told this is a word which means to probe or to penetrate. To probe or penetrate what? Me. "Search me, O God. Know my heart." Second word here is "try me." This word means to investigate, examine, test, prove. That's what it means. Test me, Lord. Investigate me. You say, "Well, that's no big deal." Do you know that some tests are not the most pleasant to go through? Have you ever discovered that? In order to find the truth, the test sometimes isn't the most fun. Take, for instance, metal. Suppose gold or silver could pray and say, "Test me, see what I'm made of." And the Smith says, "All right, you ask for it." How is gold and silver tested? By what? By fire. And you know, sometimes if we want God's ways and His best in our life, and we say, "Search me, Lord, probe me." You know what a probe does? What does a probe do? Quite often it does what? It kind of pokes around a little bit. That's not too pleasant either, is it? "Search me, God. Get down in there and poke around in there in me and see what you might find. And test me, try me, prove me. Do what you have to do for the best to result. Third, he said in verse 24, and see if there's any wicked way in me. See. As you're probing, as you are doing whatever you are doing, as you are testing me through the trial, through the difficulty, whatever you might be bringing in my life to make me more like you, I want you to see, be looking. Are you finding any wicked way in me? And then the last thing the psalmist says is, lead me, lead me, lead me in the way everlasting. Why was he asking the Lord to lead him in the way everlasting? Because we learned at the outset, he that trusteth his own heart is a what? Is a fool. And my desire is that each of us, that we come to the place where we say, Lord, I don't dare trust my own way with my life. My way is going to fail me. My way is going to cause difficulties. It's going to be the wrong way, even though it seems like it's the right thing. And every way of a man is clean in his own eyes. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need you. I need you to search me, try me, see if you can find things that are not right, and then I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. I trust that's the prayer of each one as we think about our own hearts, our own lives, and as we bring this message to a close this evening. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Father, as I think about what we've looked at here in Solomon's writings, our old sinful ways, sometimes we find ourselves saying, yeah, you know, that brings to mind so-and-so and so-and-so. Yeah, they're always claiming that there's nothing wrong with the way they're living. Lord, I pray that you would blind our eyes to others, and may we look within. The purpose of this message this evening was to help each of us to search our own hearts. Are we fools trusting our own hearts? Or have we admitted our own way is going to lead us astray, and we are looking unto you to show us your way and your path for our lives? May we walk in your ways. May we honor you. May we glorify you. And may you get the glory in it. Work your will. In your name I pray. Amen.